Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's go. Batter up. We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game. For a ball game today.
All right, it's Dave Player in for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. So this man needs no introduction. All right, I'll introduce him anyway.
Come on.
He's been the iconic voice of the national anthem at Wrigley Field for decades, and just about every Chicago Wolves home game, as well as one of the owners of the four-time league champion Chicago Wolves, and for many years also belted out the Star-Spangled Banner for the Chicago Blackhawks. And on this July 4th, to celebrate and share with us what the national anthem, which was written in 1814 by 35-year-old lawyer and amateur poet Francis Scott Key,
don't
means
steal
to him.
My material.
I'm sorry, did I do it all already?
Okay.
Is Wayne Mesmer, who joins us live in the studio. Good morning, Wayne.
Hi there. Nice to be with all of you happy faces on this early 4th of July.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, I couldn't help but be touched by, you brought up, Andy, one of my dear buddies here. Andy Mazur talks about, and you guys talked about Lou Gehrig today.
Yeah, right.
Of 1939. As a speaker, which is I professionally do like all the time, I love to open up a speech by talking about that moment, that great moment. I consider myself the luckiest man. But, and they say may have been given a bad break.
Yeah.
But we've got an awful lot to live for. And that's kind of my message. You guys know I came back from something that was pretty devastating. A shooting, and for a guy who sings and speaks and does all that stuff, to get hit in the throat is a bad deal. But through the grace of God, here we go.
Here we go.
The pipes are working.
Absolutely.
Amen, brother.
Absolutely.
So I do get a chance to do the national anthem a lot.
Yeah.
I'll sing today at the ball game.
Yes,
sang last night before about 40,000 at Arlington Race Course.
Yeah, for the fireworks, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, was that cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times do you think, and maybe you know this, that you've sung the national anthem?
I am nearing 5,000.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah, and being very careful about exactly where that 5,000th will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if it times out or it just happens to be on a Sunday against the Cardinals at Wrigley Field, it would be.
I love that. Yeah.
It would be coincidental, I think.
Yeah. What, do you remember the first time you sang the national anthem?
I do.
Where was that, buddy?
It was in Franklin Park at the ice arena there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was for a Loyola University hockey game.
Okay.
And the tape, cassette tape of Kate Smith broke. And I was in the penalty box, and I had volunteered to do the announcing because I love the game. And, I'll sing it. It'll be great. Look at this guy. And
That's
I went
awesome.
Out there and gave him the... gave him the World Series version, and there you have it.
Now, you received a bachelor's degree in music education right out of college, but then you got your master's in counseling from Loyola, a PhD in psychology from LaSalle University.
I know. Nobody's looking. I do all that stuff.
But listen, you run a financial planning investment firm.
Yes,
you wear
sir.
Many hats. So what has kept you so involved in music?
I'm a musician first and everything else second.
Okay.
That's just all there is to it. I mean, you and I have bumped into each other where I've done tunes other than the national anthem.
Yeah, love doing it.
Some swinging tunes, jazz, and a bunch of appearances this summer around Chicago, too, which you can always find out at WayneMesmer.com.
Of course you can. Of course you can. When, you sang for the Hawks, obviously, and the White Sox, and the Cubs Association began over 3 decades ago. How did that all come about? Because you're so Cubs and Wayne Mesmer go together.
I started with the Sting, Chicago Sting, and talked my way into doing God Bless America for Lee Stern, great group. And with the offices at 333 at North Michigan, which I can see from here. And that was fun. That exposure led to the Blackhawks, a call. And that exposure led to the White Sox. Eddie Einhorn called me and, we're thinking of making something going on over at the ballpark, I remember at the station, somebody says, Eddie's on the phone. Eddie who?
Yeah.
Those things just happen. And that exposure was great, 3 years. But then did have the opportunity to go to the Cubs with a bigger exposure. And 33 years later, here we are.
Over those 33 years, what has been the most memorable moments? Was it all compacted into last year, or was there just amazing moments over time?
Well, there have been great ones for sure. The probably September 27th of 2001, after we had lost a 10-game homestand and then came back and I sang America the Beautiful and the national anthem from the pitcher's mound, and everybody was lined up. I mean, police, military, anyone who was ever we've ever relied on. That was a great moment.
Yeah.
That was a day where earlier in the day I had been out at O'Hare and sang with President George Bush standing there as Air Force One rolled in, and it was the announcement, it's time for us to get back in the air and fly again. So that was not your typical day
for me,
but it was
so memorable.
It was great.
Yeah.
Certainly Game 5.
Yeah.
Game 5 was a culmination of so many wonderful things. Really a dream that I held for, a personal dream for 23 years as a anchor to hold on to during my darkest time when I didn't know whether I'd be able to speak or sing again. And in 1994, to dream that if the Cubs were to ever make the World Series, this is 94, I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
If they were to make the World Series, I'd love to be on that field singing.
Sure.
October 30th, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
You've talked about, the incident happened that happened back in 94, but you always talk about the shoes that you wore on that day, and then you do wear them on momentous occasion. When was the last time you wore them?
Game 5.
Game 5.
Game 5 of the World Series, To wear the same shoes. It's odd to some people, creepy to others. But the phrase is, walk a mile in somebody's shoes, but stand in the same shoes and understand the time that has passed. You know? It's like, whoa. And I don't know, wherever anyone is in their spirituality, but I got to say thank God for that.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's something, man.
Absolutely.
It was cool. And it was what was fun, I guess, about that day also is Kathleen, my darling wife, who is a wonderful singer, she and I got a chance to sing Broadway stuff at a afternoon birthday party that day of Game 5. And that was one of the other anchor things that I was holding on in my darkest hour.
I love that.
Nobody's going to steal the opportunity for us to sing again.
Yeah.
So it was quite a day.
Yeah, I always go back, Wayne. It's great to see you, too. I haven't seen you in forever. I always go back to that All-Star game at the Chicago Stadium. The Gulf War had just started. Operation Desert Storm was going on, and all eyes of the nation were basically on Chicago Stadium. They're there for the NHL All-Star game. And
amazing.
That rendition, I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm still getting chills. What was that like, standing in that organ loft and belting it out that day?
The best way I can describe it is like this, Andy. We are given gifts in our life. And they come from one place. And when you are gifted and what you are requested to do actually meet in the same intersection, that is a magical moment. I knew it was important. It had to be sung the way it's supposed to be sung. No schmaltz, no gimmicks, no nothing. Just sing it. And the Canadians earned the right to hear it sung properly then, too.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
It was a beauty, eh?
And that was the thing, too. I mean, when you look at the video, when you look back at it, there's Wayne Gretzky. There's Mark Messier.
Oh, yeah.
They're on the ice, and they get camera shots of these guys, and they're locked in. And these are Canadian guys that, I've heard the anthem of 1,000 times probably by then, but it just seemed like obviously it was a real special kind of thing.
Now, you were probably a child at the time, Eddie, but when when the Red Army team came in, and I did the Soviet anthem in Russian.
Wow.
Do you recall that?
I do remember that.
Wow.
Yeah, and they don't sing it. A soloist doesn't get a chance to sing it, apparently, in the Soviet Union, now defunct. But the coach even made a comment. It went something like this. I don't know what it meant, but he seemed to point at me when he said that.
Interesting. not good. Maybe not good. We'll have to get that translated.
Probably should have done that first.
You mentioned, being able to belt out some jazz and some Broadway show tunes, and I won't give this away. I mean, we've known each other for years, but it was one time a couple of years ago, I ran into you in this little place up in Wisconsin, and I was sitting at the bar, and I didn't see you when I walked in. And I sat there, had an old-fashioned talking, and then I heard the voice.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And then, of course I did. And then I heard the voice and your wife's voice, and I kind of slowly turned around. And there you were, and I thought, how damn cool is that?
We have fun. We were up Saturday night in another little haunt.
Okay.
Where you walk in and stagger out. And our dear friend, Joy Smith, the pianist, is playing over another little place over just down the road. In Williams Bay over by there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it was fun. So we went in, sang a few tunes, and recreated our youth. And,
love that.
Went from there.
Love that. Let me know next time you're there. I'm going to come over and listen for sure. All right. We are talking to the iconic voice of the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago Wolves. That's Wayne Mesmer. And when we come back, we're going to talk about our national anthem and what it means to Wayne. It's much more ahead after your morning traffic. Susan? I love this guy, Dave Player, on 720 WGN. We're talking to Chicago's very own Wayne Mesmer. The national anthem, you know, you said 5,000 times.
Yeah, coming close. Yeah. Seems like it.
That's wild. You wrote, and I heard it, and I love the pieces that you've been sending out over the last week or so. It was a four-part series on really your life and what the national anthem means to you, and it's a piece that I just love, and I'd love you for you to share this live with our listeners.
I will give you my best Orion Samuelson.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good, buddy.
What the national anthem means to me is a very unique moment for anyone who's been introduced to sing the national anthem. That honor of being handed the microphone or walking up to the podium to handle this great responsibility is something that every American should have the privilege to experience. For me, it's more than just another song. It's an opportunity to recite the poem, Defense of Fort McHenry, written by Francis Scott Key, as he was inspired by the brave men and also women who fought to save Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor on September 13th and 14th in the early days of the War of 1812. And the 15-stripe and 15-star flag that survived that vicious night of bombardment. The prose, first published just more than 2 years later, tells the historic and heroic actions of patriots who put their newfound country ahead of their own lives, willing to give the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we now know all too frequently take for granted. The blood that was shed on that proud moment of early America serves as the inspiration for the moment when I'm called upon to represent those men and women, tens of thousands of others, who laid down their lives for us many generations later, whom they could only imagine. The melody that we now know as the Star-Spangled Banner emanates from John Stafford Smith's To Anacreon in Heaven, a popular tune that had been used previously by the lawyer-poet, and the music carried its challenges then as it does now, for you paying attention, covering an octave and a fifth in range, surpassing the average singing voice by a few critical notes on either the top or the bottom. It took many years before the Star-Spangled Banner found its proper place in our daily lives. President Woodrow Wilson exercised an executive order in 1916 to approve the service version of the patriotic piece that found its way into baseball during the 1918 World Series between the Cubs and the New York Yankees. Folklore tells us that President Wilson's request of the military band to play during the seventh-inning stretch at a Cubs World Series home game played at the larger capacity Comiskey Park on the south side, rather than over at the future Wrigley Field. And he only discovered that the band had exhausted their repertoire, forced to play their last remaining tune, and naturally people stood and the tradition loosely began, though the song did not officially become recognized as our national anthem, until a congressional resolution was passed and signed by President Herbert Hoover in 1931. Knowing this history and that for which it stands only amplifies the honorable responsibility. It's not to be taken lightly, as too many others have done and continue to do. I've always felt this isn't the time to boast, brag, or call attention to oneself with a grandstanding gesture or an attempt at a grandiose personal interpretation. Doing so, in my opinion, is really just blatant disrespect. We've all seen our share of showboating in action. I only wish it would stop. As a son of a World War II veteran, I learned firsthand what this proud song truly represents to the men and women who have worn the uniforms of the five branches of the military, then and now. I've walked into the monuments and alongside them at Arlington National Cemetery and country graveyards that mark the lives of soldiers and sailors who have served and fallen. I've had the honor on a number of occasions, momentous all of them, to sing before millions of people over the years. Moments where the national anthem needed to be sung the way it's supposed to be sung. With a count of near 5,000 times of accepting this honor since my first public singing appearance back at a Loyola University hockey game nearly 40 years ago, I've never varied from my approach to treating the moment with dignity, respect, and pride. Each and every time I've heard the call, it's been the same motivation, to lead the crowd in the singing of the national anthem. Never should it be taken as an invitation to draw attention away from what the words of courage, as written by the poet of so long ago, truly mean. Oh, say can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? On the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is that breeze o'er the towering steep as it fitfully blows, half-concealed, half-discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam. In full glory reflected now shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, oh, long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Wayne Messmer, how beautiful and how appropriate on this Independence Day.
Thank you. Just beautiful.
Just beautiful. Loved it when I heard it.
It's, I don't know, what's inspiring me. It's my turn, it's my time, I think, to stand up and speak. And that's what I want to do, talk about the great benefits of living life with your eyes open. And so I've kind of, you know, hit a big gong and WayneMessmer.com. Matter of fact, if you go on to just my website, hit a click, you can get a free download of that I just read.
Love that. And we'll also post this at WGNRadio.com right after the show as well. What else is coming up this summer for you, Wayne? You're singing today.
Lots of music. Singing today at 116 or thereabouts, and singing again on Friday. And then a little bit of out-of-town stuff from Frying Pan in Orlando to the fire in Phoenix, and with some speaking out there. And it's fun.
And I have a texter that asked, where's Joy singing now, your buddy Joy?
My Joy. A place called Bragi in Williams Bay. Look it up, B-R-A-G-I. And also in Lake Geneva at the Baker House.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay,
around
the lake
Sundays
there.
okay. and Saturdays at Broggy. And she is a delight. She just had a birthday.
Oh, lovely.
You guys would love her.
She's great. She's terrific.
She was on
I love watching her perform.
Rush Street when it was Rush Street.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Seriously. Well, let me know next time you're there because I'll meet you up there. And if you want to, again, find more on Wayne or click and download what he just read, absolutely beautiful, visit WayneMesmer.com, Facebook and Twitter too. Always a pleasure, pal.
Gesundheit.
We'll see you at the lake.
All right.
All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.